This morning, we continue our year-long occasional series called Project Lawrence with a visit to the city's public schools, which have long suffered from low test scores and high dropout rates. Lawrence schools were doing so poorly that in 2011, the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education put the entire Lawrence school system into receivership, making it the only district in Massachusetts under full state control. More than 2 years later, test scores and graduation rates are improving. So in theory, receivership seems to be working, but it's also sparked the ire of the teachers' union. WBUR's Usma Khalid reports on the struggle to fix the broken school system in Lawrence.
In 2010, about one out of every four Lawrence kids dropped out of high school. Only 35% of 10th graders were proficient in math. The gloomy stats go on and on, but you get the picture. Lawrence schools were a black eye in a state that prides itself on top-notch education. So in January 2012, the Massachusetts Board of Secondary and Elementary Education appointed Jeff Riley as the receiver for Lawrence schools. In layman's terms, receiver roughly translates to school czar. Riley, who commutes from Boston, holds the power of the superintendent and the school committee.
If I so chose, I could have, fired every teacher in Lawrence and asked that they reapply for their job.
Instead, he claims he opted for more sensible solutions. He cut a third of central office and replaced nearly half the principals.
We've got kind of a different model, which is loose, tight administration. If you're doing really well, you get the freedom to fly and do your thing. If you're not doing so well, we're going to give you a ton of support and try to get you up to that next level.
That means the district is a mishmash of traditional public schools, charters, and even a school run by the union. Riley says he does not care so long as it works. He's also a big believer in the power of data. He says it helped improve the city's graduation rates.
For the first time, we really analyzed kids' transcripts. We had kids that were out on the street that were missing one or two classes from a high school diploma. We went and found those kids out on the street. We got them back in class, and we got them across the stage.
Data has helped guide the entire turnaround. It's the basis for a program Riley created called Acceleration Academy. He says it's like an adrenaline shot of education. A couple thousand kids come to school during February vacation for 25 hours of intensive English.
And this is a program that does two specific things. It recognizes the best teachers from the area as well as from across the country, and it matches them with kids that need some extra support.
One of those teachers is Jody George.
This is an MCAS passage from a couple years ago, and the kids really have a tough time with drama and plays, so we're actually acting it out.
I shall give one final test to prove the worthiness of your husband. Stand now.
About a third of kids in Lawrence schools are English language learners, and many struggle on the English portion of the MCAS. So Riley says this extra time is hugely helpful.
We're trying to give our kids an education that's comparable to your average suburban kid.
And so this year, Riley mandated that every first through eighth grade classroom in the city extend the school day. There was no choice. It was an edict from central office. The Gilmette Elementary School added an extra 301 hours. That means the school day now starts at 7:30 with an extra hour and a half of class Monday through Thursday. Lori Butterfield is the principal.
We know that we needed more time to do what we needed to do for kids to perform highly.
But she says she worries about teacher burnout.
I think we were really nervous coming in. I know I was nervous. I was also nervous about our staff because they have families at home and, they're giving up time on those ends.
Butterfield says she lost about 10% of her teachers because they wanted to work in a district with fewer hours. She's still nervous about losing more teachers, but she says her kids need the extra time, and she can't envision going back to a shorter school day.
To learn academic language that will help us become stronger readers, writers, listeners, and speakers.
At the end of a normal day, kids file into class for extra English help. They're grouped according to their proficiency level. Butterfield says the extra 301 hours also allow the school to add activities, things you wouldn't normally find in an urban school.
There's dance, there's robotics, yoga, cooking, art, digital arts, creative art.
The school also teaches music during the week.
Our teachers do more than just sing songs. I mean, they're teaching kids to read music and choreograph dances.
Each school gets some flexibility with how to divvy up the mandatory extra time. At the Arlington Middle School, kids go to the Y on Thursday mornings, so teachers get extra time to prep next week's lessons with their colleagues.
Think of it almost like an algorithm. Like this discussion.
Courtney Breen has taught at Arlington Middle School for 10 years.
Our school has changed. It's night and day. Just like the student buy-in, even the parent buy-in, our culture has changed like 150%. The standards for teachers are as high, if not higher, than they are in the surrounding communities.
But for some teachers, those high standards are discouraging. Frank McLaughlin is the president of the Lawrence Teachers Union. He shows me an article on the front page of the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. The story describes an exodus of mid-level teachers.
The biggest problem with receivership is morale amongst teachers. They're always on edge. They're always looking over their shoulder.
McLaughlin says he's not opposed to the extended school day, but he has serious issues with the new evaluation and compensation systems Jeff Riley has created. The union hasn't had a contract in 4 years, and McLaughlin says Riley has refused to negotiate a new one. So last year, the union filed a complaint against Riley with the State Labor Relations Board. McLaughlin pulls out a stack of papers to show me some of his concerns. They're in the midst of mediation now, so he says he can't speak on the record in detail. But broadly, he says Riley acts as if the receivership gives him the right to ignore the voice of teachers.
They believe that it gives them all the power and it trumps all the collective bargaining rights. It doesn't, and they know that.
Riley sees things differently. He claims he offered the union an olive branch by giving them their own school. And he says his special receiver powers mean the traditional union rules don't apply.
Clearly, we believe deeply in teachers. On the other hand, our focus has to be on kids. And we're in receivership for a reason, and it can't be business as usual.
The Lawrence turnaround will take at least 5 years, according to the Commissioner of Education. But Jeff Riley's contract expires next June. So what happens then isn't clear. The union wants its power back. Jeff Riley wants to institutionalize his reforms.
When we do leave, we want to bake in the changes that have been made and that so things don't get rolled back.
As the power struggle continues, one thing almost everyone can agree on is that many kids are doing better academically than before. Last year, the percent of students scoring proficient or higher on the math portion of the MCAS went up by double digits in third grade, fifth grade, eighth grade, and 10th grade. The graduation rate is at its highest level in years. But Riley admits there's plenty of work to do. While the graduation rate is better than any time in recent history, it's still just 61%, not even close to Riley's dreams of suburban success. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.